Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus today. Great to be gathered together as brothers and sisters in Christ. We have a wonderful service planned for you today, and we're excited that you're here. The world continues to launch its assaults and its attacks against our faith, but gathered in the name of Jesus together in our blessed country, we are safe and secure in His grace, and we're thankful for that today as well. We'll be worshiping this morning to the order of divine service setting 1. 1, and we do have a bit of an abbreviated service today because we are planning our voters meeting afterwards. We invite those who are tuned in on the radio today to be blessed by our service, and we're glad that you've tuned in to join us. We'll begin this morning with the hymn 713, From God Can Nothing Move Me. And we do invite the congregation to please stand on the last verse of our hymn this morning. Let's sing together. name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God
is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I confess to God Almighty before the whole company of heaven, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned in thought, word, and deed, by my fault, by my own fault, by my own most grievous fault. Wherefore, I pray God Almighty to have mercy on me, forgive me all my sins, and bring me to everlasting life. Amen.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, grant you pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all your sins. Amen. I confess to God Almighty, before the whole company of heaven, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned in thought, word, and deed, by my fault, by my own fault, by my own most grievous fault.
The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all your sins. Amen. We continue with our introit from Psalm 145. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. On your wondrous works I will meditate, and I will declare your greatness. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, because your abiding presence always goes with us, keep us aware of your daily mercies, that we may live secure and content in your eternal love, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for this Sunday comes from the prophecy of Jeremiah in the 20th chapter. We begin in verse 7 with that reading. O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I cry out, I shout, violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and a derision all day long. If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart as it were a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whispering, terror is on every side. Denounce him, let us denounce him, say all my close friends watching for my fall. Perhaps he will be deceived, and then we can overcome him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly ashamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, who tests the righteous, who sees the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them. For to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of evildoers. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with our epistle lesson this morning from Romans chapter 6. The apostle writes to the church, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, who were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, having become slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness leading to sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. We invite the congregation to please stand if you're able as we sing our Alleluia verse and read the Holy Gospel reading.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia,
Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew in the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and the children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of his household? So, have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Would you join us in our sermon hymn this morning? It's 427, In the Cross of Christ, I Glory. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Think with me this morning, if you would, of an old-fashioned raid. Not the bug killer in the spray can. That's not what I'm talking about. Like a raid on a castle. Maybe get it in your head that way. Enemy lines up with all their troops and weaponry, and swoops in a surprise attack on a kingdom. An all-out assault. Can you picture it in your mind's eye a little bit? The goal of that attacking force, to imprison that kingdom under the control of the enemy. And believe it or not, I'm sure you noticed our texts were somewhat heavy this morning in our epistle and in our gospel. But believe it or not, that sort of raid is a great description of what it's like to live the life of a Christian, to be a Christian. Except we're not the ones doing the raiding at all. We're the ones who've been given this kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, as church, together, and even within ourselves, to guard and protect, to share, and as our constant protection. The attack comes upon us, not from us. Good to note that last point. So God in His grace wants us to be wise to even the smallest internal details, lest we fall into that attack's subtle and subversive tactics. For this reason, the Apostle Paul writes to the church in our epistle reading from Romans chapter 6, and he says this in verse 12, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions." And when he says this, it's clear that the goal is that sin, both in the world and within ourselves, wants to reign over us and reign in us. It wants complete control over you, over your mind, and over your body. But the term that's used there, that the apostle uses, reign over, it's an interesting one. In the text, it comes in the grammatical form of an imperative, which means it's a command when he says, "Let not sin reign." Or you could say, "Do not let sin reign in your mortal body." But the term is interesting in the Greek. The term is basileuto for reign. Basileuto. And it shares in common this noun, which sounds very much like it, basileia. And basileia is the noun that we translate to kingdom. As Jesus will tell us in Mark chapter 1, he'll tell us that the time is fulfilled and the basileia, or the kingdom of God, is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Basileuto, the term that's translated to reign in Romans chapter 6, shares in common, obviously, with basileia, the noun. So it helps us to recognize the connection and what Paul's saying to us in our text of Romans chapter 6. Basically this: let not sin establish its kingdom within your mortal body, or reign, rule, be in control. That's what's really going on as we live lives as Christians. Sin is always about this exact objective: establishing its kingdom within us, to raid our bodies, hearts, and minds in an attempt to literally destroy us and have control over us. And we have to ask this morning, in what areas of your life does it already reign? Has it already established its kingdom? It will help us to hear what the apostle writes in the book of Colossians chapter 1, that in our baptism by faith, God has delivered us from the domain or the control of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. And this is telling us this morning that as believers in Jesus, we are not, I'll repeat, we are not bound under the domain of darkness. We've been transferred by our Lord's cross, His resurrection, into the kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of Christ, and under His reign and His control. This is our identity, our true identity by faith. So sin, death, and the devil constantly mount their attack, and they plan their raid, weaponize all good things that God created so that they can invade you, control you. If only we could deal with them like we deal with insects and have a can of raid. We could just go, pss, pss, pss,
like we do, right? And then sweep them outside. But it's more complicated than that, and we all know it. So what has Jesus done, and what is he doing to help us, to defend us from this real-life assault? Well, it's interesting here in the last verse of what I read you from Colossians, verse 14. It says there, in whom, talking about Christ, we have redemption, comma, the forgiveness of sins. It doesn't say, in whom we have redemption through the forgiveness of sins. No, not there. There it equates it. Redemption and the forgiveness of sins. They're one and the same. Our redemption is our forgiveness, according to Colossians. Now, let's jump back to what Jesus said for Mark. The time is fulfilled and the basileia, or the kingdom of God, is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. What marks the time being fulfilled in that text, and what marks the kingdom at hand in that text, but repentance and forgiveness? That's Christ's kingdom in your world and in mine. Repentance and forgiveness. That's his reign. That's his rule. Yes, in 2023, on June the 25th in Alamosa, Colorado, Christ's reign and rule is the forgiveness of sins. Do you want to know where Christ is? Have you ever felt alone? Like God wasn't with you? Maybe praying in a difficult time, crying out to him, saying, God, where are you and why aren't you helping me with this? Do you want to know where he is? He tells us, wherever his forgiveness is, where his word is preached, where his sacraments are administered, there Christ is. And where there's no forgiveness, I pray that's not in you or in me. Although we're good at it. Wherever there's no forgiveness, friends, we don't recognize Christ there. That's not his reign. That's not his kingdom. See, wherever forgiveness is missing, that's the enemy, you know, the raiding enemy we talked about. That's them gaining too much ground. May they never do it in us, that there be unforgiveness. Repentance and the forgiveness of sins is Christ's rule and his reign in this world, and he's made it very obvious to us in the scriptures. He'll even say that repentance and the forgiveness of sins must be preached in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And that's where he wants us. He'll tell us that too in John's gospel. He says, you are truly my disciples if you abide in my word. And what does his word give us? But law and gospel, repentance and forgiveness. See, it's kind of weird to us though to think about authority or kingdoms or reign or rules coming to us through forgiveness. It's kind of antithetical to the way we think about power in general. We see someone who keeps on turning the other cheek, and we say, oh, that silly person who keeps getting abused. They keep forgiving someone who hasn't even earned it, who hasn't even asked for it. They're just being taken advantage of, and I'm wiser than them. It's a good question to ask ourselves. How many times are we willing to forgive someone who keeps sinning against us? God? That's his way. That's how he's ruling in his kingdom. And by it, he flips the world's wisdom over on its head. And he places us within that kingdom where he's always willing to forgive in what the Bible calls by this word, grace. Always willing to forgive. And it's within this castle or fortress, and only here, that we're actually safe from the raids and the invasions of sin that's trying to take control over us. So when we repent of sins, when we seek forgiveness, we are truly forgiven, and we're literally within our redemption and living within his kingdom every day. There's no sin that can beat God's forgiveness. The devil will tell us that in our minds, but it's not true. It doesn't matter the sin. There's nothing above him and his reign and authority. I like this image, and you have to think about it for just a moment, but imagine like 1,000, I'm just throwing out a number, nuclear bombs all going off at one time. Don't imagine it too long. God's more powerful than that. And he uses every bit of his power to keep on forgiving you and me. For this reason, the apostle says in our text, what then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means, he says. Or it's not possible. And he goes on and literally tells us what to do, not in order to get into Christ's kingdom. See, this is how so many understand it. He doesn't tell us what to do in order to get into Christ's kingdom. Like, if we sin, right, then we're out. And then if we repent and ask for forgiveness and forgiven, then we're back in. No. But he tells us we've already been transferred into this kingdom of his forgiveness by grace. And if we even desire to repent, if we feel guilty for sin, guess what, friends? That's showing us that we are in his kingdom and that he is at work in our hearts, leading us and guiding us and keeping us in his secure castle, his fortress. But now that we're included in it, he has some things to teach us, undoubtedly. This is verse 13 and 14 from Romans 6. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members as God's instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace in his kingdom of forgiveness every day. We need to be careful with what we do with our bodies and with our minds. When it says do not present your members, it's not just speaking about hands and feet. It's speaking about ears and eyes, mouths, etc., and every divisional parts of our bodies. These, the Bible tells us, as members of his kingdom, to present as instruments to righteousness, to the service of Jesus, functionally to love God and love our neighbor. He goes on in verse 19. He says, I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification or being made holy. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one to whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? He's telling us again, the goal of sin and death in the world and the goal of sin within us is to control us. It's to take every part of us and twist it and make it under its authority. It's a very practical lesson, I think. Our bodies have been set free from that by Christ, we're members of his kingdom through his death and resurrection, why would we ever want to do their bidding, evil's bidding, ever again? We do it because it feels good. That's why we do it. But we don't realize that every time we engage in it, even just a little, every time we indulge in it, even just a little bit, what's really going on from the enemy's point of view is that they're moving in. They're taking over. They're trying to establish their kingdom, and that will not stop until they take you down and me down. They won't give up. Thank God for our Lord Jesus, who short-circuits the whole thing by saying these words to us, repent and believe the gospel. And he sends them back to the darkness where they belong. And that's why, because they're so intent on their reigning and establishing their kingdom within us, that God has set today that he will destroy them forever. But he's waiting, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to, guess what? Repentance and receive Christ's forgiveness. And while we struggle in this throughout our lives on earth, our Lord has caught us each and every single time. Look back for 1 second and pay attention how many times he's been faithful and forgiven us and cast them out once again. So when we sin, we run back to Christ. And we shouldn't act like sin isn't sin. That's probably the most popular thing going on in the world today. God says something's wrong in the Bible clearly and plainly, and somebody says, oh, it's not wrong for me. That just means our attackers are gaining more ground. We need to let God tell us through his word what's good and what's evil, and let sin be sin as the Bible says it, plain and simple, even if it means we're wrong. And be a member of that kingdom of repentance and forgiveness and believing the gospel, because Jesus died on his cross for you. Your sin is forgiven and you live under his grace. And he's faithful, and he'll be there for you every time you need him. And his strong castle, the promises of his forgiveness will never be breached. We need to learn to see our lives inside of that Christian context. Christians living for Jesus give their members to his service and live every day within the kingdom of repentance and forgiveness. Some want to move on from it, want to say, I'm forgiven, now what? There will come a day when we will grow past this kingdom of repentance and forgiveness, but it's not yet. It's the day our Lord returns and takes us home. Until then, we be wise, examine ourselves, willing to be wrong, and seeing in ourselves what the Bible calls sin, and we call it sin too, and it doesn't remove you or me from his reign. It leads us to repent and live in his kingdom every single day. We should live like we're free from sin and death and repent when we fall short of the glory of God, because we're only free in Christ. We're not free in ourselves. So we run to him because he's faithful. And we hear his word, so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For as often as we do this, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. The one who has ears, let them hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we invite the congregation to please stand, if you're able, as we confess our faith together this morning to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We now come to our time for our prayer of the church this morning. Our response for prayers today is, hear our prayer. God of all strength, you have brought us from death to life. Do not let sin reign in our mortal bodies and make us obey its passions, but turn our hearts continually toward the gifts of Christ, that we should present our bodies as instruments of righteousness. Lord, in your mercy, God of our salvation, your Son warned that your people would face opposition from the world. Give courage and fortitude to your pastors and your people and your church, that they would boldly sing your praises and gladly endure suffering for the name of Jesus, and continue by your grace to give those gifts to your faithful. Lord, in your mercy. Father in heaven, the curse of sin brings division within families. We pray that you'd grant unity of faith within the households of this congregation, and that you'd give wisdom and peace where there's anger and strife, that you'd bless parents with faithfulness to teach their children your ways. Lord, in your mercy. God of all creation, you appoint authorities to keep order for the good of your people. Bless the authorities in our land with the wisdom to seek the common good. Deliver them from temptation to promote evil and oppose your will. And Lord, give them penitent hearts that they might be confident of your grace for them. Lord, in your mercy. Father in heaven, you bestow life and salvation by your holy word. And though the world treats it with no respect, we pray you strengthen us to hold fast to your word and declare your praises. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, look with favor upon those who are persecuted for the name of Jesus. Be their warrior against the evil one and the attacks. Strengthen them to endure and make known your mercy through the witness that they provide. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, keep our feet from falling. Preserve us from fear. Make us confident that since you have delivered our souls from death, you will deliver us to walk before you in the light of everlasting life. Lord, we know that it is you who we depend on each and every day, for every breath, for every bite, for every step, for every heartbeat. You're giving us all of those and more wonderful things. Lord, as we look to you, even this morning, we lift up to you those who are in need of prayer. We name before you Elizabeth Young and family, Earl Parch, Connie and Tom Poole, Lord, we lift to you St. Peter's Lutheran Church as they call a new pastor. We lift also to you Dave Johnson, Betty White, Barb Luco, Frankie Gray, Nathan Poole, Brooklyn Clasby, Carolyn Jerry, Mona Hauser, Marcella Pilcher, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Frank Rendon, Ella Clark, Greg and Chris, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, deliver and save according to your will. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of life, grant that all who partake of the Holy Communion today would present themselves as those brought out of death and into life, repenting of their transgressions and gratefully receiving your Son's body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, in your mercy. Be merciful to us, O Lord, and hear our prayers. Grant to us the grace of your Holy Spirit, that we may be led into all truth and be steadfast in the confession of Christ, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We come now to our time of tithes and offerings. As our offerings are collected and presented this morning, we'll enjoy some instrumental music from our organist. We wish blessings upon those who have tuned in to our service on the radio this morning. Go in the Lord's peace. For those of us gathered in the sanctuary today, we invite you to turn over to page 9 in your bulletin, and please stand if you're able for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Been listening to Pastor Jason Cody live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
KSPK.